I am joined now by Dr. David Harrison on the line from Somerset West, CEO of the D.G. Murray Trust and the author of an excellent and very practical piece in Daily Maverick this week about mandating only the mandatable. Dr. David Harrison joins me now. David, a very good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be on your program.
I really enjoyed the pragmatic approach you were taking, which could be summed up in the line that we should only implement vaccine mandates if there is a plausible pathway to their success. Let's deal with their practical implications before we get too wound up on the policy itself. So what are the practical barriers to vaccine mandates in the real world of South Africa?
Well, in order to be able to implement a vaccine mandate, and we'll come back to the different types, obviously you can't simply tell people to do something. You need to be able to check that they have, and if they have, so certainly if you're government, that's required. So I think that needs to be our checklist. Once we are assured of the legality, we need to be able to ask, can we verify that somebody's been vaccinated? And secondly, can we enforce it if they're not? And the problem is that to check whether somebody has been vaccinated requires a QR code on a smartphone at the moment, because we know that if it's paper-based, there are going to be lots and lots of photocopying. Fraud is going to mount, and we're very, very soon going to dilute the value of a vaccination mandate. So we have to go with a digital solution. But the problem is you need a smartphone. Only about 60% of people in South Africa have access to smartphones. So that's the first challenge. The second, obviously, is still technology, is that then needs to be connected to a central server, and so you need to have scanners to do that. And then finally, you need to be able to enforce it. And so it may be enforceable in workplaces, in formal employment, in aquaria, in museums, etc. But it certainly won't be enforceable in places like taverns and on taxis. And so we need to understand that for the majority of people, the 50% or so of people who are not vaccinated yet, they operate in an economy where those sort of practicalities are untenable.
And also there has to be enforcement, doesn't there? And there has to be a legislative framework, and you have to be able to follow through. There has to be compulsion involved somewhere.
Yes, exactly. And so when we understand that 56% of the unvaccinated are 18 to 34 year olds, who really don't have much of an interface with the state except for their 350 rand temporary COVID grants, to tell them to do something, to say go and get vaccinated, when they have no motivation and no real consequence if they don't, I think is simply going to devalue the role of mandatory vaccination.
And you worked through some of the options in terms of what government could do to compel people to get vaccinated short of a mandate, and you said that 350 rand grant might be a useful tool. You might be able to make that conditional on getting a vaccine?
Yes. So I think it's useful for us to understand that the different types of vaccine mandates. And so certainly the type of workplace mandates that are being referred to at the moment in the formal sector, those may well be feasible. Secondly, obviously, some vaccine passports, as I said, for you to get into the theatre, that may be possible. But what's not possible is a compulsory national mandate for the reasons that I've given. So I think we need to turn it on its head a bit. We need to understand that it's not that those young people don't want to get vaccinated; it's that they don't have reason to get vaccinated. They don't have motivation. They're living on the breadline. We've got to speak into the materialities of their lives. And so what we can do is, if we are thinking about extending the 350 rand COVID grant, is we can make that conditional on vaccination so that it becomes an incentive rather than a punishment if you haven't yet been vaccinated.
And you certainly can't take away something that people are otherwise entitled to, like a pension payment or a grant or anything like that.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important point, is that when we're talking about young people in particular, The young people who get grants, apart from the special relief grant, are people who are getting grants to care for children. And so it would be unconstitutional. You can't do that, to take away those grants or for disability. And it would be cruel to try and take away the grants of a 60 or 70-year-old who may well be bedridden, and that's why she's been unable to get vaccinated. So I think that any sort of punitive approach is just unrealistic in the context of South Africa. We should go for mandates in the formal workspaces where that works, and then we need to have much more transactional, much more incentive-based approaches for the rest of the population.
You had some interesting stuff on the effectiveness or otherwise of vaccine mandates in various European countries. Just talk us through some of your conclusions there when you've looked at what's happened in Israel, France, Switzerland, Denmark, Germany, places like that.
Yes, and I think obviously with this epidemic rolling out so quickly, the evidence has not kept up with the dynamics of the epidemic. So we don't have strong evidence. So if we have a look across the world at the studies that have been done and the reviews that have been done, we see that it's only really in Israel that we've got definitive and strong and substantial evidence that the green passes the green pass, which enabled access to a variety of services in Israel, that seemed to have had a big effect. So a 10 percentage point effect. France was an interesting example, not nearly as a substantial effect, but just the anticipation of introduction of a vaccine mandate seemed to bring an extra two million people forward for vaccination. But we didn't see the same sort of effects in Switzerland or Italy or Germany, some of the other countries that the researchers looked at. So my point is that is that if we're simply going on the basis of robust evidence to make the case for vaccine mandates in South Africa, I think we're going to come up short. And I think we have to accept that we're operating in a very uncertain environment. We've got to be willing to make bold steps. And so that's why, for me, the clarity of the pathway, the plausibility of the way forward is actually more important at this point than being sure of the outcome.
Interesting also to actually go back to square one and say, why would a company impose a vaccine mandate? What are they hoping to achieve? What is the core purpose of a workplace saying we need everyone to be vaccinated? Is there evidence that there's an outcome for that?
Yes, Mike, and this is a really important point too, because again, and with Omicron, the notion that that vaccination prevents transmission is becoming a weaker and weaker argument. There is one and only one strong reason why we would want to implement a vaccine mandate, and that is that vaccination does make COVID a milder disease. It does prevent people from been admitted to hospital, and it does prevent deaths. So I think that this is key, that as workplaces think about their rationale, it's wrong to say that they're making it a safer space because more people are vaccinated. They're making it a healthier space because fewer of their employees will get very sick, and so productivity will increase, and you know, and hopefully overall the well-being of the company will improve.
David, thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate it. Dr. David Harrison on the line there from Somerset West, CEO of the DG Murray Trust and the author of a very good article on Daily Maverick, headline, Vaccines Must Only Mandate the Mandatable.